Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, July 8th, 2023. Section D. Community. Opinion. If student outcomes aren't the focus for MISD, what are? By Brandon Hodges. We have seen all things regarding public education in Midland increase, except test scores and academics in general. Over the last decade, we have seen MISD's revenue increase by 215% and student population by 19% during the same period. The district also has brought in partner public charters to turn around failing campuses, increased starting teacher pay to over $60,000, seen an increase in student violence, built new modern elementary schools, partnered with Midland College for a pre-K program, put in turf fields, lit tracks at all junior highs, built a multi-use turf field at Midland High, hired a superintendent with West Texas ties, changed two board seats, and added new buses to the fleet. This was all done with the district celebrating new academic highs. Well, not all of us were celebrating because the data was always questionable at minimum. Now we are looking at what-if scenarios provided by the TEA, and it looks like the celebration may have been too soon. Most of us have found ourselves sitting around and surprised by an increase of failing campuses. We shouldn't be. The devil is in the details. There are many who think there is more to education than outcomes, and they are also the loudest about blaming the STAR test. Teaching to the test is a valid argument, but that is a different argument than not measuring student outcomes at all. The STAR may not be the preferred measurement method, but it is what the state of Texas requires. While the STAR is disliked by many across Texas, many of those districts who dislike it are still able to pass it at much higher rates than MISD. Our educational crisis is of our own making, but one that can be overcome. Time is of the essence, no doubt. The challenges are multifaceted, but so are the solutions. We do have subpar scores, and this must change. Eliminating the STAR must be fought in Austin. Communicating with our state representative, state senator, and SBOE representative is the only way to effectuate change on the STAR. Allowing our administration to use the complexities of the STAR as an excuse for not educating students must end. All we are doing is effectively teaching our students and children to fear having their knowledge base tested. There are students that should be free of STAR testing. There is no argument there. But students who are planning on participating in university-level study will have their abilities tested often. Again, the STAR test may be an inaccurate assessment, and there are better methods for determining where a student's knowledge base is, but it is the current state law. We should keep our focus on holding the local administration accountable for not properly preparing our students for whatever path they decide to take, whether it be career, military, or college. When I reference administration, I am specifically speaking about just that. Our teachers are held accountable for outcomes. It is time that standard is applied to those with the highest cost to the taxpayer. In order to make sure we are preparing our students, the education system must measure student outcomes. A decade's worth of data shows that sentiment is more well wishes than actual work, as we rarely hold those in charge accountable. It is hard to believe we could be back to the starting gate with the amount of treasure, $485 million, maintenance and operation. Taxpayers are providing MISD. Now we have 18 to 24 months from January 2023 to find out if the academic bleeding has stopped with the newest leadership. Of course, it isn't the wealthy kids who are doing most of the bleeding. No worries, they can always join the military. Midland tends to put more focus on what looks good than what is actually good for both the citizens, aka taxpayers, and the students. As for this guy, I am tired of waiting around on Superman. Life is too short and education too important not to focus on growing competent adults. It is time to do the work to improve student outcomes, manage chronic discipline problems, establish and implement maintenance programs, be good stewards of our financial resources, and act as representatives of our voters. Citizenship is, after all, not an entitlement. It requires work. Pretty simple. If student outcomes aren't the focus we measure public education by, what should they be? Out and about. Senior Life Midland Annual Fundraiser Salute by Julie Donnelly. There's no place like home was Senior Life of Midland's theme at its annual Salute fundraiser that took place at the Petroleum Club of Midland. Supporters could easily find their tables as their printed name signs stood out next to Dorothy's red glitter heels. White flowers with red roses anchored the sign, which was all brought together by the surrounding candles and red and white crystal rocks that all sat atop a mirror that reflected the beautiful lighting inside the club. At each place setting was a swag bag that included chocolates, a pencil and pen set, a scented candle, popcorn, and miniature jars of jams and preserves. Jay Hendricks emceed the event. He introduced Senior Life board member Andy Schaefer, who welcomed the crowd and said the prayer. Executive Director Kathleen Kerwin Haney then gave an update on Senior Life. The seated dinner started with a wedge salad topped with bacon, tomatoes, dressing, and fried onion rings, followed by beef tenderloin, mashed potatoes, and asparagus. Assorted pies and cakes were placed around the table for dessert. A live auction then got underway and had guests bidding on Dallas Cowboys memorabilia, a homemade four-course dinner for eight in the winner's home, a handcrafted royal yacht of King Charles, a beautiful pair of diamond hoop earrings, a Hank Williams Jr. autographed six-string Rogue guitar, and a three-day, two-night trip to Louisville. A silent auction was also on and included wine, cakes, a paint party, and gift cards. After all the festivities, guests danced the night away to the Basin Big Band. Senior Life Midland is known for its programs such as Meals on Wheels, Homebound Services, and AmeriCorps Senior Programs. Brown Dorsey 4th of July Celebration by Julie Donnelly. Midlanders showed up to the Brown Dorsey home on the 4th of July to get a glimpse of how Midland would have celebrated the holiday back in 1900. Members of the Midland Historical Society showcased the city's oldest residential structure by recreating how the Brown family would have lived in the home during their first July 4th at the residence. Upon driving up to the Victorian home, a 45-star United States flag could be seen flying over the front window, as there were only 45 states when the Brown family settled into their house. After a personal history-guided tour inside the home, guests ended the tour viewing pictures of the Brown family celebrating the 4th of July in the early 1900s, along with pictures from Midland parades and celebrations that took place in 1911. They were also offered a Hershey Milk chocolate bar from the home's icebox, coinciding with 1900 being the same year the first Hershey bar was sold. Tour goers then arrived out back to homemade ice cream and lemonade and could play washers and horseshoes out in the backyard. Dear Abby, grandfather unclear of role with kids in growing family. Dear Abby, for more than 5 years, my son dated a young woman with a child. During that time, they lived with him. After they broke up, he was able to have visitation and shared parenting rights, even though the little girl, Paisley, was not his own. I must say it was a benefit for the child. To this day, Paisley is still a major part of his life. For the last five years, she has called him Dad because her mother doesn't want her real dad to be part of her daughter's life, and Paisley wanted to call someone Dad. Fast forward 3 years. My son found love again and ended up marrying a fine lady and mother of two. Their father is a very important part of their lives. They also, along with Paisley, all have grandparents. My question is, since none of these children are my sons, what are these kids to me? I don't think they are my grandchildren, but my ex-wife says she accepts them as grandchildren, so I should do it and give them the same benefits that I give my three true grandchildren. Do I refer to them as grandchildren, step-grandchildren, or just my son's wife's and ex's children? Mixed up grandpa in Ohio. Dear grandpa, because these children are important to your son, follow your ex-wife's lead and refer to them all as your grandchildren. Treat them with love and make them feel special. The more love there is, the better it will be for everyone concerned. Yourself, your son, and his blended family. Dear Abby, I have a connection with someone very close to my heart, but I'm afraid our relationship isn't healthy. I'm the one who pays our rent. I'm the one who pays for all the food, and I'm the one who has to drive all the time. And as you know, gas isn't cheap. It upsets me because he also never talks to me. I do like his style. What I love most about him is he is always there to support me. He gives me the best hugs. He has beautiful eyes, and I just know he loves me. I love him so much. But he gets sad when I hang out with my friends without him. I want to include him in our activities, but all my friends say that's unrealistic. How dare they? I love him with all my heart, but often he just doesn't want to spend time with me, and I'm worried he's been cheating on me. What should I do? Girl in love in Canada. Dear girl, your letter is full of red flags. Is this hugger with beautiful eyes employed? Why are you paying for everything? Has he ever actually said he loves you? Does he have any social life of his own? You state that he gets sad if you want to hang out with your friends, but often doesn't want to spend time with you. Where does he spend his time when he's not with you? If you suspect he may be cheating, listen to your intuition. You feel that way for a reason. Between you and me, you can do better than this. Start by finding a man who can pull his own weight and will talk to you and gives good hugs. P.S. If your main squeeze is a canine, please make sure he's chipped and neutered.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for July 10th. Samaritan Center says, "The Power of Breath." The story was written by Jessica Krasnika. Often we share the sentiment of time is flying by so quickly in everyday conversation, it feels like we just took down the winter holiday decorations the day before, and we are already planning activities to beat the heat of summer that is upon us. It is easy to get wrapped up in day-to-day tasks that, at times, seem to have no end. Burnout has become a buzzword for many in the workplace and in the home. Schedules are overloaded and take the appearance of several spinning plates that constantly need to be attended to, or else they all end up in pieces on the ground. Take a breath. Reconnecting with our bodies and being mindful for a few short minutes can reduce stress and pressures of life. Take 5 minutes to sit and breathe. Be aware, present, and purposeful of every breath in those little quiet moments. They have the power to ground our thoughts and relieve some of the pressure of the day. It may seem silly or unnatural at first, but taking these small breaks 3 or 4 times a day can improve a person's mental and physical health tremendously. These are not selfish acts, but acts of love and care. When we take care of ourselves, we are also taking care of those around us. Take a breath. Samaritan Center is proud to announce the addition of new psychiatric services to our practice. We are currently taking new clients for psychiatric evaluations and medication management for mental health issues. We use a holistic approach to promote and support mental health and wellness to optimize recovery. There is hope for a better tomorrow. Call Samaritan Center today at 432-563-4144 to schedule a visit with a counselor or psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. Anemia in Young Women. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. Sometimes when I read studies, I think, well, duh, did we really need a study to tell us that? Then there are studies that I read and go, oh, wow, that would have never occurred to me. The ones that always seem to hit me the hardest, though, are the ones where I think, we should have thought about that a long time ago. Today, I saw a study that hit that exact note with me. It was a study that looked at iron deficiency anemia in teenage girls and young women. In a study published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association, researchers found that almost 40% of American teenage girls and young women have low iron levels. Since iron is crucial for building red blood cells, it should not be a surprise that low iron levels translated to low levels of blood cells, known as iron deficiency anemia, in many of those young women. The study looked at data collected over 20 years by the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, part of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In that study, they looked at iron levels and iron deficiency anemia in young women from ages 12 to 21. They found that 40% of these girls had low iron levels and 6% had iron deficiency anemia as a result. Unfortunately, The current guidelines for testing for anemia in women of reproductive age don't catch the problem quickly. The reasons are many. First, anemia testing looks at red blood cell levels rather than specifically for ferritin, the iron-carrying protein that contributes to making blood cells and helps us store iron for future use. Second, the recommendations in young women are for those of reproductive age, yet nearly a quarter of the young women in the study who were iron deficient had yet to start their periods. Lastly, routine anemia screening is recommended every 5 to 10 years, so it can be easily missed in teenage girls. Symptoms of iron deficiency anemia can also be subtle and easily mistaken for other problems like a lack of sleep. Those symptoms include fatigue, cold extremities, hair loss, brittle nails, brain fog, decreased athletic performance, shortness of breath with exertion, junk food cravings, headache, lightheadedness, and sleep disorders. Experts worry that these symptoms can lead to issues that will have lifelong impacts on quality of life for these young women. For instance, brain fog and fatigue can contribute to poor school performance. Poor athletic performance can lead to negative feelings about exercise. While menstruation is not the only factor for anemia in young women, it can be a major contributor, especially in those who experience heavy periods. Unfortunately, heavy periods are often something young women are not comfortable talking about with parents or healthcare providers. They also don't always know what defines a heavy period either. While there is no exact definition, if a woman is changing pads or tampons every 4 to 6 hours and needing additional protection at night because of leaks, that is a good indicator. There are multiple ways to treat heavy periods so they don't lead to bigger health concerns, and your primary healthcare provider can help direct you toward a specialist or help you decide on the best options for you. If you are concerned that you or a young woman in your life has or is at risk for iron deficiency anemia, you can start by increasing iron-rich foods in your diet, leafy green vegetables, eggs, seafood such as tuna or sardines, tofu, and beans are all good sources of iron. Cooking in cast iron has also been shown to increase dietary iron intake. And, as with any health concern, speak to your primary healthcare provider. They can help you determine if you need to increase your iron levels and the best way to do that safely and with minimal side effects. Finally, the study also shows why it is so important to speak frankly with your healthcare provider about your concerns. It's okay to ask questions about anything you are not sure of, even if it's not a comfortable topic. I promise your healthcare provider would much rather listen to and intervene with concerns early, even when they are uncomfortable, than deal with the consequences later when that problem is affecting your quality of life. Travel troubleshooter. I had to pay twice for my checked luggage on Avianca. I want a refund. The story was written by Christopher Elliott. Peter Holt prepays $66 for 2 checked bags on his Avianca flight from San Jose, Costa Rica to Mexico City. Question. I booked 2 flights through GoToGate from San Jose, Costa Rica to Mexico City and then Oaxaca. I ran into a problem on my flight from San Jose to Mexico City, which was on Avianca. I knew there were small planes, so I prepaid $33 for each checked bag. But when I checked in at San Jose, the agent had no record of my prepaid bags. I discussed it with them and showed my receipt. I even spoke to a supervisor, but I ended up having to pay $90 per bag. I have copies of my boarding pass showing no checked bags and also the receipt for the $180. When we arrived in Oaxaca, I called the phone number on my receipt, but after speaking to a representative, we were disconnected. A representative emailed me and said there should have been no issue with the baggage. She invited me to file a claim. I've heard nothing since. Can you help? Signed, Peter Holt, Woodinville, Washington. Answer: you shouldn't have had to pay twice for your luggage. A quick phone call to GoTo Gate should have cleared this up before you left. Instead, it turned into a losing argument with an Avianca supervisor. GoTo Gate is an online travel agency, which means it is supposed to represent your interest, and it also takes a commission from the airline. Even if there wasn't time to sort out the luggage problem at the airport, the agency should have quickly refunded the extra fee. But again, no refund. By the time you contacted me, it had been more than a month. Let's take a step back. Why are airlines charging so much for checked baggage? Because they can. Airlines know that we need to travel with luggage, and so they charge for it when we buy our tickets. And if we don't immediately say yes, they more than double the price and charge us extra at the airport. One day, when enough passengers refuse to play along, airlines will stop this nonsense. Until then, you should know that airlines have built their entire business model on charging luggage fees. They will try to squeeze every red cent from you when you fly. I noticed that after you called GoTo Gate, you quickly switched to email. That's preferable. You need a paper trail that shows Avianca or GoTo Gate goofed. It looks like GoTo Gate intended to process your refund but never got around to it. The company needed a reminder. Evidently, your reservation was handled by multiple online agencies, which made your resolution a little more complicated and may have led to the crossed wires. At some point, you also dealt with a third agency called MyTrip, which is owned by the European online agency eTravely Group. I publish the names, numbers, and email addresses of the GoToGate customer service contacts and eTraveling Group contacts on my consumer advocacy site, Elliott.org. How do you avoid something like this? Book directly with the airline, because going through intermediaries just leads to confusion and potential problems. I contacted eTravely Group on your behalf. A representative contacted you and refunded the $180 in extra luggage fees you had to pay. Christopher Elliott is the founder of Elliott Advocacy, a nonprofit organization that helps consumers solve their problems. Email him at chris@elliott.org or get help by contacting him on his site.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.